My first question would be, how can you describe the political situation in Poland before March 1968?
In terms of the political situation in 1960s, the second half of 1960s in Poland especially, we have a special section that deals with this topic at our temporary exhibition about March 68. And first of all, we developed the story of the economical situation at that time, which means that according to historians and economists, the economical situation of people living here at that time was that their income was probably more or less the same as the people who lived in the Western Europe in 1940s, just after the end of the war, which means that the economical situation was really poor, and it's about half of people's salary that they have had to devote to buying food, which was rather the same in the situation of a laborer, just a simple worker, and also an intellectual person who works in the office, for example. So that was the first background. And then, of course, and the situation of the Jews, because we try to focus on the Jewish experience of March 68, and that is why we very much develop personal stories and reach out to some interviews of oral history as well. And those people interviewed in our central section of the exhibition, which is called the railway station, Warszawa Gdańska Railway Station, people there also refer to that situation as well as to growing hardships of being a Jew in Poland. And these growing hardships have somehow blown up in the situation of the hate campaign in 1968.
Yeah, this poverty must be also a cause for the protests that started in 1968. As in many other countries, Polish students, Polish workers protested. One of them, for example, was Adam Michnik, who's today still an important Polish journalist. Mm-hmm. Back then, the Communist Party used the uprisings to start anti-Semitic campaigns and blamed Jewish people for the riots. Maybe you can describe some more how these uprisings looked like in Poland.
Yes. So first of all, the main cause of these protests that started at the Warsaw University on March 8, 1968, the main reason was a protest against censorship and against the growing regime. Because to make it more clear, we should probably move back to 1956, when the Thaw happened and the end of Stalinism became a fact in Poland. And then people expected changes, and these expectations were very high. And slowly in time, people started to feel disappointed that these expectations did not meet with reality. So that was the first reason, that when the regime started to grow and become slightly more oppressive, and also it somehow culminated in the decision to kiss the performance of the Forefathers Eve. That was a play that was prepared for the anniversary of the October Revolution, and it was shown at the Warsaw National Theatre. And it was a 19th century anti-tsarist play, so it had no reference to the at least it looked like it had no reference to the actual situation. But the number of performances grew, people started to come up there because they saw that there are some parallels between what happened in 19th century when Poland, part of Poland was partitioned, and it was a part of the Russian Empire at that time, that there are some parallels and similarities with the situation in 1960s. After that, there came a decision of the censors to stop playing this performance. And that was the main reason of the protest. The last performance that was held in the end of January 1968, was followed by a huge manifestation. And after this manifestation, Adam Michnik, whom you were kind to mention, he and his friend Henryk Schleifer went to a foreign correspondent of French magazine Le Monde, and they talked about the situation, about the censorship and about the regime to the press. And that was the main cause that they were expelled from the university. And March 8th, at the Warsaw University, there was a huge protest of students against this punishment that Schleifer and Michnik were supposed to be expelled from the university. And when the protest was coming to an end and people started leaving the Warsaw University area, there the militia came and started beating up the students. And that was a huge event, because never before has it occurred a situation that could be similar to this one. Looking back, for example, what happened in 1950s, there were, of course, Poznan riots in 1956, but those were not the students. So it was kind of appalling what happened. And of course, other universities and also high schools in many different places in Poland continued the protest. And there were like 3 weeks of protests in Poland. And the government just didn't know what to do with it, how to deal with this problem. So they started accusing the Jews, which they called the Zionists, because anti-Semitism was not in fashion at that time. Communists were officially anti-Semitic. So they called the Jews the Zionists, and they have claimed that those Zionists are the ones who inspired naive young people to protest. And that's how the Jewish plot somehow got into the situation of the students' protests.
And how come, where did the government find points to blame Jewish people for the uprisings? What is the background of this anti-Semitic campaign?
Oh, yes. Well, again, it is much more complex. The main point was that the Jews were to blame for what happened among the students. There were some Jewish intellectuals. Actually, all of them were Poles. They were assimilated. They didn't want to go to Israel in 1940s, and in 1950s. They stayed in Poland to be a part of its culture and a part of its politics, at least some of them. So we have those Polish intellectuals of Jewish origin, who were the professors to these young students. And they were an easy target, because if the government wanted to blame the Jews for what happened in Poland at that time, I mean, they wanted to blame the Jews for the riots and for the unrest, and also for the economical situation, because they found some Poles of Jewish origin who were also inside the government and decided to make them leave. So that was one point. And the students' protest, the uprising, as you say, was just one of the reasons that enabled them to prepare this kind of purge that took place. So that was one thing. Another thing was that at that time, when someone got into the government, was employed somehow in the government, there was no short-term contracts. I mean, if you were a minister, you could do it all the time, that there was no ending point of your job. So they couldn't simply fire you. They had to find some other way. And the purge was just a good tool to do that. So that was one thing. The other thing was that at that time in the politics in the Communist Party, there was a rather big group of people in their 30s and 40s who were waiting to be promoted. So on the one hand, the purge was somehow inspired by this difficult job promotion situation, right? But on the other hand, there was also anti-Jewish atmosphere in the government. It somehow refers to the problem of the so-called commie Jews, the Jews who came back from the USSR just after the war. And when communism became as political system in Poland, those Jews were blamed for somehow bringing it to Poland from the East. And also many Jews actually participated in creating this new system because they believed that it was the right thing to do. So again, after the Stalinism, the stereotype made of the commie Jews made people to raise accusations against the Jews that they were the perpetrators, those who harassed the Poles during the Stalinism period. It was quite easy at that time to use this stereotype to conduct the purge.
And how did the Jewish people in Poland react to this anti-Semitic campaign? In Poland, the country that before World War II and the Shoah was home to the biggest Jewish population in Europe?
Yes, although we have to keep in mind that already in 1960s, there is approximately about 20,000 Jews in Poland, because after the war, in the period of 1945-48, about 150,000 of survivors leave Poland, especially when the State of Israel is established in 1948. So, of course, there was about 3,500,000 Jews in Poland before the war. But after the Holocaust, we have like 10% of this population, which is 350,000 in its maximum. So at the moment we are talking about, it's actually more or less about 20,000 Jews in Poland. So it is a very small number comparing to the pre-war that you referred to. So this is one thing. And another one is that all of them who decided to stay in Poland felt that this is their country, that the assimilation in their individual choices is the only way, and it is somehow finished. Most of them didn't feel Jewish, and when the hate campaign started and some people, for example, at work decided to uncover those people as Poles of Jewish origin, as the Zionists, they somehow had to reshape their identity, and this whole issue of identity quest has become actual again. And also another problem somehow connected to this is that many of them remembered what happened during the Shoah. They remembered the atmosphere, they remembered hatred towards them. And when March 68 campaign began, this atmosphere came back to them. I mean, this psychological terror has resulted in many cases of mental collapses and even suicides. We don't have any numbers that could somehow reflect to this problem, that could give us the information about the range of this issue. But from the individual experience, from the talks that we had with people, it frequently comes back, this problem of people who decided to commit suicide or who suffered mentally from the problem of March 68 atmosphere. So their reaction was emigration. And of course, again, emigration had many complex reasons. One of them was that people were lost their jobs, and all the institutions that could employ them were state institutions. So if a state institution in the communist country makes you leave your position, there is no other way to get a new one. And that meant that there was no perspectives for those people to earn money, to somehow make a living. And often it happened not only to one person in family who was of Jewish origin, but also, for example, to its Gentile partner, a wife or a husband. Also children at school had many problems, like they were named Zionist by the teachers or by other students. So it was a really harsh time for them, and those were the reasons they decided to leave the country.
As you now prepared the current exhibition on the Museum of the Polish Jews in Warsaw, you were working a lot with participatory elements. Like, for example, you asked people to bring objects to the museum, and you worked a lot with oral history, with material mm-hmm. from eyewitnesses. To sum it up, how would you say, what do these people tell about their experiences now from 50 years back, and how is 1968 nowadays fixed in their memories?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a very interesting question. Indeed, we had a lot of meetings with people who experienced March 68, the purge and the emigration, and their view on Poland today is varied. I mean, there are some of them who, for example, bought apartments in Warsaw or other places they come from, and often come back here to participate in some cultural events. And they were quite happy about the exhibition and not only how it is done, but how it deals with the problem of memory about March 68, because as much as I know, and also they pointed it out, that there was no, that before, during previous anniversaries, there was no exhibition on March 68 that would somehow cover the Jewish experience of this period and would tie it with the Polish history of one of the Polish months, because March 68 is called one of the Polish months. This is a kind of line that leads to 1989, which is the end of communism. So the Jewish experience was known rather from the interviews, but not much from the historical outcome. And now the exhibition tries to tie those two elements in one exposition. So I know from the reviews that we get and from the talks I have with those people that they somehow appreciate this kind of approach. And their view on Poland today has modified a bit after what happened in the beginning of 2018, that there was a kind of a rise of anti-Semitism in Poland, especially on the internet, but also in the government as well. So they felt quite disappointed with that. And I think that the exhibition that we have prepared has made many of them to somehow change their opinion, because even if anti-Semitism has appeared in the beginning of 2018. In March, we had the exhibition that tried to deal with this problem, and it was open, that it was loud, and it's popular. So I think that it can also change their view.